Welcome to our deep dive. We're focusing today on making powerful AI tools, not just, smart, but genuinely reliable and understandable for you.
Yeah, and today we're digging into random forests. They're used everywhere, really, especially for complex data, think biomedical informatics, that kind of thing.
Super powerful tools.
Exactly, but they have this classic problem, overfitting. Basically, the model learns the training data too well, maybe gets the noise, and then it kind of falls apart when it sees new, unseen data.
Which sort of defeats the whole purpose, doesn't it? So the paper we're looking at today introduces a new method to tackle this. It's called beta binomial tree smoothing, BBTS for short.
Right. And our goal here is pretty straightforward. We want to unpack BBTS for you, show you what it is, and why it's actually a pretty significant step forward, especially for getting results you can trust from complex data.
Okay, let's get into it then. Random forests, they're built from lots of decision trees. And as you said, overfitting is the big worry. The paper mentions post-hoc regularization.
Yeah, that's just a way of saying methods you apply after the model's already trained. The idea is to help it generalize better, to perform well on new stuff.
And BBTS is one of these post-hoc methods.
Precisely. It's a smoothing technique specifically for classification tasks, figuring out categories. Now, unlike other methods, like pruning, which actually cut branches off the trees.
Right, changing the structure.
BBTS doesn't do that. It leaves the trees as they are. Instead, it works its magic right at the end points, the leaf nodes, where the final prediction happens.
Ah, so it tweaks the final probabilities. How does that smoothing work exactly?
Well, the key idea is that information higher up the tree, near the root, is usually based on more data. So it's, let's say, more robust, more reliable than what you might find way down in a leaf that only saw a few specific examples.
Okay, so it's like leveraging the broader patterns seen earlier in the tree to refine that final specific prediction.
You got it. It uses something called a beta distribution. Think of it as a flexible way to represent probabilities, especially when you're dealing with counts, like how many times each class appears as you go down the tree.
Okay.
And this beta distribution gets updated from the root downwards, incorporating the data it sees along the path. This naturally smooths out the probabilities at the leaves. And here's a really interesting part.
Yeah.
You can actually bake in an expert's initial guess, their prior belief about the data distribution, right at the very beginning of this process.
Wow, okay. Incorporating human knowledge before it spits out the final answer. That's quite neat. The paper also mentioned hierarchical shrinkage. How does BBTS compare?
Good question. Hierarchical shrinkage, or HS, also kind of pulls predictions back towards their ancestors in the tree. It's related.
Mm-hmm.
But BBTS specifically uses that beta distribution framework, which is just a very natural fit for modeling these evolving probabilities based on counts.
Right. So let's talk about why this matters for, for you listening. Performance and interpretability seem like the big wins here.
Definitely. On the performance side, the study showed BBTS is really competitive. Often it did better than standard random forests and even better than HHS on several standard data sets.
And they tested it on real world stuff too, right? Like that breast cancer data set, TCGA.
They did, and it performed particularly well there, especially on a metric called balanced accuracy. That's really important when your data isn't balanced. Maybe one class is much rarer than others. BBTS gives a fairer picture then.
That's crucial in medical data, for example.
Absolutely. And another practical point.
Yeah.
It often worked well, even with fewer trees in the forest. That can mean less computation time, fewer resources needed.
Always a bonus. Okay. But resource saving is one thing. What about understanding the output? Interpretability is huge. Yeah. What does BBTS offer there?
This is where it gets really interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's based on that beta distribution. BBTS doesn't just give you a probability like 70% chance it's class A. It also gives you information about the certainty of that 70%. Like, how confident should you be in that number for this specific prediction? You get a kind of confidence interval around the probability.
Ah, I see. So you get the prediction and a measure of the model's confidence in that specific prediction. That seems incredibly valuable.
It really is.
Right.
Especially for high-stakes decisions. But wait, there's more on the interpretability front.
Oh.
Standard random forests have this known issue with feature importance, figuring out which input features were most important for the predictions. They tend to inflate the importance of features that just have lots of possible values or categories. It's sometimes called MDI bias.
Right, mean decrease in impurity bias. It gets fooled by high entropy features, even if they aren't truly predictive. The paper had an example where the standard method got it wrong.
Exactly. BBTS helps fix that. Because it uses those smoothed probabilities, the feature importance scores it generates are more robust, more reliable. They're better at pointing to the features that genuinely matter, even when you have those tricky high cardinality variables.
Okay, so pulling it all together, what's the main takeaway message here for someone using random forests?
Well, beta binomial tree smoothing is this novel post hoc approach. It smooths the leaf predictions using the tree structure, which boosts accuracy, especially balanced accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say the really big deal is the step up in interpretability.
Right.
You get that confidence information alongside the prediction, and you get more trustworthy feature important scores and makes the whole thing more transparent.
It feels like a move towards AI that doesn't just give you an answer, but also gives you context, a sense of how sure it is, a more honest view of what drove the decision.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So just thinking ahead, given how much data we're swimming in and how complex these models are getting, just how valuable is it really to get not only that prediction, but also the confidence behind it and maybe something else to think about? How might building in that domain expertise, that prior belief from expert right at the start, make our AI systems even more robust and trustworthy down the line? Something for you to ponder after this deep dive.